Chapter 12. I had horrible dreams that night that lasted years. Not true nightmares, really, not at first, but very odd in a macabre, intriguing sort of way. There were many distorted figures lodged and packed into a room that was at the same time ageographic. They and I stumbled around with staccato gaits, first winsome, then fierce, getting faster and faster until the whole thing resembled some sort of spastic frenzy. By then I knew it was a dream, but that didn't help. It was a commentary on me, the daytime me, the message seemed to be. It was about the recent me, the lately irrational, emotion-taught me. Other me's too, I supposed, but in any case, too damn many me's. It would only get worse. I would stretch to the frenzy. I would warp. So I woke up fast as I could. Cortez was sitting beside my bed. He smiled when I opened my eyes, the lids of which felt puffy, ponderous. It seemed I had been out 2 days with a raging fever. The muscular spasms had stopped hours before now, even. The local bug, in other words, had struck. "Welcome to Sanction," said Cortez with a wide grin, adding, "Didn't you feel it coming on?" I ignored him. I hadn't, of course, but God knows I should have. Idiot. It took me 8 days, a full local week, to get over it. Mostly I slept, peacefully for the most part. I did meet a couple of doctors, or maybe just one, as the only things I remember about either of them were youth, athletic postures, and greatly affected pretend deep bedside voices. Laya came often, cheerfully and concerned for my welfare.
"Everybody gets it,"
she reported gleefully. Holly came twice, ever friendly, but vague about progress with the armor. Cortez left only once, when Karen came. She hated being there, hated looking at me as I was. She was gone in minutes, again replaced by Cortez, who entered looking like the gossip I supposed he was. I ignored him, rolling over into my pillow for my hourly nap. I drifted off wondering if I had not, in fact, learned more about her in those few anxious moments than in all of our previous hours. I thought I knew at last what she wanted from me. It was nice to be able to just sleep instead. I was sitting up smoking a cigarette on the morning of the 8th day when Laya came in and told me about the picnic. I didn't answer at first. I was still trying to get used to her appearance. I hadn't seen her in the past couple of days. She looked rotten. There were dark circles under her usually china-pure eyes. She was somewhat pale as well, and her movement seemed a bit shaky, hesitant, and uncoordinated. Worry. And only one thing could make that one worry. I was anxious to ask her about him, but I couldn't seem to get through her, "Let's be cheerful if it kills us, me, him." It was all for her sake, of course, though I doubted she was aware of it. And, to be sure, I got all the fussing over. Laya had a great time directing the expedition to the out-of-doors, insisting I be carried on a spring sheet by 2 attendants, one quite short, one quite tall, and laughing delightedly at the bouncing their mismatched gait gave me. It was, thankfully, a short trek, just 300 or so meters along the riverbank, to a grove of very earth-like trees. If it had been much farther, I'd have gotten out of the springer and walked. I was still pretty weak, but I figured anything to be better than that bouncing seesaw.